I know it's a very busy evening for all of you. We have a few other REITs that are releasing their results. So thank you for joining our session. Can you all hear me? I presume you all can.
Yes.
So without further ado, let's get the program started. You can see on the video now, Chut Siang, our CEO, and then we will take you all through our slides that's been shared on the Bursa this evening. Over to you, Chut Siang.
Thank you, Jasmine. Hi, good evening, everyone. Yeah, so we're also mindful that there are a few things going on today. Let's just zoom in on the key things that we want to highlight, and then we can then take some questions. So I think overall, you guys have seen our announcement that just came out. I think overall, very healthy quarter for us. Higher revenue across the board, higher net property income, higher DPU. And I think if you look at the total numbers, it paints a very healthy picture compared to a year ago, which was the first quarter that post-reopening in Malaysia. Even then, we have improved our revenue by about 4% year on year. For the full year, we're up about 23%. Net property income up 23%, and for the full year up 48%. DPU probably the highest DPU since COVID hit us at 1.05%. So it's been inching up over the last few quarters. For the full year, we are very pleased to announce that we have a full year DPU of 4.01 cent, which translates to a distribution yield of about 7.5% based on current share price. Portfolio occupancy, very happy to say that it continues to go up. We are now at 86% from last quarter's 83%. Rental reversion still slight negative, minus 3%. Shopper traffic, we are now just 10% below the 2019 average for fourth quarter 2022. And for tenant sales per square foot, we are now at 25% above the 2019 average. So overall, a very healthy picture in terms of recovery. And also, as you can see, even though footfall has not gone back to normalized levels pre-COVID, a few reasons for that. One key reason is that the tourists have not fully returned. And I think there are still pockets of people working from home here and there. But despite that, sales continue to recover very strongly. Fourth quarter is probably the best quarter ever for us in terms of tenant sales per square foot. I think even surpassing pre-COVID level averages. So this is something that has made us very pleased in terms of the results. Next slide, please. Thank you. So I think a few key things. We've been quite busy over the last few months, as you're probably aware. I think we are very pleased with the progress that we have made in terms of the growth that we want to take the REIT to the next level. In November, we announced the acquisition of the 92% of the strata floor area of the Queens Bay Mall, which is located in the Bayan Lepas area, for a total purchase consideration of 990 million. This transaction is expected to complete at the end of Q1. I think most of you are familiar with this transaction. We have a couple of slides later to reiterate the transaction and the merit of the transaction as well. But I think we have had this discussion with most of you. I think the transaction itself is very, the investment merit is self-explanatory. I think given the very healthy occupancy of 95%, the very healthy NPIU of 7.3%, despite this being the first year coming off COVID, we think that this will add tremendously to the quality of our earnings, the quality of our tenant profile, as well as the quality of our income streams for the REIT. Next, the other thing thing that has happened over the last quarter is that we completed the acquisition of our first logistics. I think most of you will recall that we announced the acquisition of our first logistics asset sometime in the last year. And it took us a few months to complete the transaction, and we are very pleased to announce that we have finally completed in December. We have started recognizing income from this particular asset, which we have named Valdor Logistics Hub in December 2022. So the numbers that you see earlier also includes 1 month of contribution from this particular asset. The third thing that we have done and we will do more of is sustainability initiatives. We have secured our maiden offer for a sustainability-linked loan from CIMB. And this 5-year, 60 million loan basically is a sustainability-linked loan that incorporates interest rate reductions that are linked to predetermined sustainability performance targets across the entire portfolio. I think going forward, we also want to do more of such sustainability initiatives. We are mindful that this is something that we want to focus on. We want to tap on more renewable energies. We want to look at more sustainable financing, and we also want to look at ways to reduce our usage of utilities across the board as well. Okay, so I think that's some of the key highlights. I will pass on the mic to the floor to Soon, who will take you through some of the financials, and then we can round up at the end for some questions again.
Yeah, thank you, Chosan.
Yep.
Okay, for fourth quarter 2022, the NPI increased by about 22% or 23%. Distributed income increased by about 31% and resulted in a DPU of 1.05 against 80.83 cents in the last year corresponding quarter. On a full year basis, revenue increased by almost 52 million. Okay, and the operating expenses increased slightly by 2%. The operating expenses increased by 2% only mainly because the increase in utility costs and also maintenance was offset by the write back of provision for doubtful debts. And with the significant increase in revenue, NPI has increased by about close to 50 million. So 50 million increase in NPI coupled with a reduction in finance costs, in fact, despite increase in 100 basis point in OPR, the finance cost increased by reduced by about 1.6 million, mainly because of our refixing exercise that we have done over the last 2 years. So that gives rise to, distributed income of about 87 million. So the effect of NPI flow, you can see almost directly to DI and DPU. And as a result of that, DPU actually increased by 120%, increased from 1.84 cent to 4.01. Next slide, please. Gearing ratio increased slightly from 34.9 in last quarter to 36.2, mainly because of the drawdown for the logistic asset. Average cost of debt on a year-to-date basis is 3.24. In fact, it is lower than last year, 3.24, mainly because the reason that I mentioned, we have done a number of refixings over the last 2 years before the OPR hike in May 2022. Okay, in terms of debt over EBITDA, it was 10.7 times. Interest coverage improved slightly to 3 times. Our fixed rate debts stand at 79% as of December 22. Average term to maturity improved further from 3.4 years to 3.6, mainly because we have early refinanced our 300 million MTN. NAV as of December stand at 1.075 cent ringgit. Next slide, please. Okay, this is our debt maturity profile. Okay, with the early refinancing of the 300 million MTN that was supposed to be due in June 2023, there's no early refinancing requirement. The 185 million that show in 2023 is mainly the RCF. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, income distribution for the 6 months ended 31st December 2022 will be 2.06 cents. X date is 7 February and payment date is 22nd February this year. That's all for my presentation. I'll pass on to Malik. Thank you.
Hi. Yes, thanks,
Mr.
Soon. Allow me to bring you through some portfolio updates. We'll start with portfolio occupancy. Portfolio occupancy continues to show improvement from 83.1% last quarter to 85.9% this quarter. And this is with most of our assets recording a quarter-on-quarter improvement in occupancy rates. And for this quarter, we see the contribution of our first logistic assets, Balto Logistics Hub, which is fully occupied, as you can see from the bar chart here. Now, if I go on to the next slide, for portfolio lease expiry profile, we maintain a balanced expiry profile for the portfolio with lease expiries well spread across a typical tenancy tenure of 3 years. So as you can see on the bar charts on the left, most of our expiries for each year is in the range of 30 to 40%. Now, if move on to portfolio valuation, based on our latest annual revaluation exercise, the portfolio value now stands at 3.89 billion, and this is after taking into consideration of Balto Logistics Hub. If I move on to the next slide, this chart here provides a snapshot of the shopper traffic and the tenant sales performance at our retail assets. And I'm happy to share that for both indicators, they've shown strong recovery in 2022, with tenant sales outperforming the 2019 levels by 25.3%, while shopper traffic is 11% below the 2019 numbers. But as you can see here, on a quarter-on-quarter, it was on a gradual improvement trend. Moving on to rental reversion. From the 347 leases that we have renewed and secured in 2022, we have recorded an average rental reversion of negative 3.0%. And notably, both of our outstation malls, that is Gurney Plaza and East Coast Mall, have achieved positive rental reversion for 2022. Now, if I move on to overview of our tenants by trade, here you can see that our portfolio is made out of a well-diversified tenant base with fashion and accessories taking the lead, contributing 28.4% of our total gross rental income. And if I were to look at our top 10 tenants, the top largest tenants contribute 16.2% of our total GRI. Now, allow me to share some new updates at our malls. At Gurney Plaza, we continue to elevate the mall positioning, the premier lifestyle mall positioning, with new outlets like the Hourglass, Ken's Apothecary, Baby Shop, and Para 5. And also, we have also installed new glass railings at our escalators to improve shopper safety. Now, moving on to East Coast Mall, as part of our initiative to elevate the mall positioning, we have introduced new and expanded concept stores like Levi's and New Era, and we have also secured a few new-to-the-market brands like Circle Club and Chef One, which is due to open in 2023. And in addition to this, as part of our efforts also to elevate the mall positioning, we have also completed the phase one of our toilet refurbishment, and we are now embarking into the phase two to provide improved amenities to the shoppers. Lastly, at Sri Damansara, closer to home, as part of our efforts to recapture the hearts of shoppers from the neighbourhoods nearby, we saw the opening of our anchor supermarket, NSK Grocer, last weekend. And I'm happy to share that it was very well received by the community. And along with this, we have also carried out various community-based competition events that includes the open chess competition, the My Voice Got Talent singing competition, and Malaysia Cube competition. This is to bring the community back to the mall to have activities at the mall. So with that, I end the session. I'll hand over to Jasmine to cover on sustainability.
Thank you, Mel. So for this particular quarter, let me share what we have done in terms of our ESG efforts. As Junsa had indicated earlier, we have secured our maiden offer for a 5-year RM 60 million sustainability linked loan, and we will be exploring more on such sustainable financing initiatives in the coming years. And in terms of the green building, we have completed the CAPEX works necessary to get the mall, one of our malls ready for the BCA Green Mark certification, and we will share more updates on that as and when it progresses. For the social aspect, we conducted the Giving Bersama 2.0 initiative in the fourth quarter. This is an extension of what had took place in 2021 when we started the Giving Bersama initiative. And for this round, we actually donated 64,000 ringgit, and this benefited more than 1,200 children from various homes and schools, where we provided them with essential necessity items as well as school supplies to prepare them for the new school year. In terms of corporate governance, we continue to uphold high standards of corporate governance, and we adopt a zero tolerance policy approach towards corruption and bribery. And in terms of board independence, 5 out of 8 of our directors are independent directors. Moving on, we will share a little bit more on the summary of the proposed acquisition of Queen's Bay Mall. Over to you, Chun Siang.
Yeah, I think thank you, Jasmine. I think for this particular session, I won't spend too much time because I think we have had a session with most of you previously already. I think I will just provide a quick update. I think the transaction is going on quite well. We are currently just finishing up on due diligence and the regulatory approvals. So we do expect the regulatory approvals to be come soon. In which case, then we will then move on to focus on financing or the transaction, which will happen hopefully over the next few weeks. So that's the broad timeline. But we do expect the eventual completion for this particular transaction to happen sometime in March, if everything tracks according to our forecast and plan. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, so I think the next few slides on the merits of the transaction, I think for this particular crowd, we won't repeat it. I think most of you are familiar with the transaction. We still remain very positive on the transaction. Most of the numbers have not changed. We still expect the yield of 7.3% to be very accretive to our entire portfolio. And I think I won't spend too much time updating the numbers in terms of this, because we have to wait for the year to close, and we don't currently own the asset yet, so we don't have but if you look at the trend in our malls, I think you should be able to extrapolate to this particular asset as well, given the proximity between Gurney Plaza and Queen's Bay Mall. So I think that's one way to kind of look at how this particular asset is likely to trend over the since our announcement. Okay, so maybe I will just move on to so I think in general, if you have been following the conversation and the discussion that we have, the presentation that we have done over the last, I think you can sense a general optimistic tone in terms, and that is clearly backed up by the trends that we have seen in not just in our malls, but I think overall across the sector, across the country as well. I think the general recovery has been very broad-based. I think you're seeing it in our competitors' numbers as well. I think quarter four is definitely, I think we had a very strong quarter in Q2. We all thought it was a bit of a revenge spending. We all thought that it was because of the EPF 10K withdrawals being dished out. We were waiting to observe in the third and fourth quarter whether the trends continue, and indeed the trends have been sustained, and even in Q4, of course, it's a festive spending, but even if you look at it on a seasonally adjusted basis by comparing it to the last few quarter fours, I think this also stands out as one of the better performing quarters. Despite the fact that footfall are not exactly back to where it was before yet, given that the country has not fully, well, borders have fully reopened, but I don't think tourists have gone back to pre-COVID levels yet. But despite that, we were able to record sales that has surpassed 2019 levels. So I think overall, retail, we do think it still has some legs. But of course, we are also cautious about the macro environment. I think the big unknown, of course, is the cost of living issues and also interest rate environment. But we are also quite happy to see that OPL was maintained today. There was no increase in terms of interest rates, so that should bode well for the REIT sector as well as for the overall economy. In terms of industrial and logistics, we continue to push forward with our acquisition plan and our growth. I think the good thing about the slightly more challenging macro environment is that I think we are able to have more interesting conversations now with asset owners. It could potentially give us more interesting price points to enter this particular asset class. But of course, the higher financing costs will present a challenge. But taken together, I think there is still a lot of potential for us to grow in this area. So maybe with that, we just pause there and some questions.
Thank you, Chen Xiao. Dear analysts, you may unmute yourself or you may type out in the chat box and I shall help you to ask the question out loud. Do you have questions for us? We have a question on the impact for the electricity tariff hike.
Okay. So we are also, that was a slightly negative surprise for us, I think when we heard the news, but we are also still trying to get some clarifications from the authorities in terms of the implementation. Because I think from what we understand now, basically, the impact to more operators is that we will be impacted by the tariff hike, at least for the common areas. Our tenants are not affected because they will be still billed at the lower tariff rates. And we are able to, like being the mall operator and the owner, we are the intermediary that that pass on the cost to tenants. So we will still be charged at a higher rate. But the mitigating point is that we will be able to, based on our conversation with the regulators, that we will be able to claim back what is due to the tenant. So the effect on the us as the owner, landlord, operator of the mall is that basically we will feel the effects of the higher tariff rates on basically our common areas, or basically the areas that are not utilized by the tenants. And the full impact and the numerical impact of that is probably, as a percentage of our overall revenue, is probably going to be in the mid-single digits. I mean, I won't, of course, it's difficult for us to give an exact number, but I think it will be mid-single digits in terms of a percentage terms, as a percentage of our total revenue. But again, this is only for 6 months. It's hard to tell what it will be after the 6 months as well. So hopefully, with the more challenging macro outlook, we hope that prices will moderate after that.
I think that's as much color as we can provide at this juncture. Hope that answers your question for now, Jason.
Hi, Shifa here from Maybank. I want to check on the lease expiry. I noticed that for 2023, it's at a high 41%. I believe Gurney Plaza and East Coast Mall should not really have an issue on the renewal. But for the mines, how do you see the outlook like, and yeah, and reversion as well?
Yeah, so I think so portfolio expiry 40%, slightly higher than normal, but I wouldn't say it's significant, because if you think about it, most of our leases are actually for a period of 3 years, so in any 1 year we should expect to have 33% up for expiry in any 1 year, and expiries are double-edged sword. For malls that are doing well, and also now that we are on a recovery trend, there's a potential to re-rate the rents higher, especially for rents that were locked in during COVID or at the beginning of last year. So there is a potential to reset rents to be on the higher side. But of course, on the flip side, if we're not doing well, then there's also potential for exits and or rents to come down. But if you look at the trends for our two best performing malls, actually we do, and most of the expiries are coming from Gurney and East Coast Mall, for at least for 2023, and they make up actually about 3/4 of the expiries coming up, at least in terms of rental income, which is what really matters. So we are not too concerned, given that these two malls are a very strong position. So actually having expiries could put us in a better position in terms of rents. For the mines, it is probably a slightly more challenging, but if you look at it, it's basically 6% or 40%, so slightly close to 15% of our expiries coming out. But I think there are some anchor tenants that are coming up, and I think we are quite confident that we'll be able to renew most of them. Rents should be able, we should be able to defend most of the rents, I think. At least on a portfolio basis, given that most of the expiries are coming from Gurney Plaza and East Coast Mall, where we think rents are likely to be able to re-rate upwards. Sorry, if you're looking for exact quantification of our forecast in terms of rent reversions, we don't typically give that. But if you look at the trends, I think it's been on a positive trend for East Coast and for Gurney. So barring any unforeseen circumstances, we do not think the trend will turn, because the conversations, typically rents is a slight lagging indicator. of how the mall is performing. Because the footfall, the sales typically come before rents adjust. And we are seeing rents, we are seeing footfall and sales going up across the board the last 6 months. So we do think that there's a potential. And this we do want to ride on this momentum and hope that rents are able to adjust upwards accordingly, at least for the malls that are near full occupancy, Burnie and East Coast Mall.
Oh, yep, I understand. And for the mines, actually, do you see any lease renewal risk?
I think maybe for small pockets, but generally, I think for the bulk of the leases coming up for renewal, for the large tenants, I think we think the risk is fairly small.
Sure. On the interest rate view, what do you think? What kind of rate are you forecasting for FY23?
I think we don't do our own forecast per se. We generally take the consensus view. I think the consensus view, well, as proven today, I think the consensus view was wrong today. But before today, I think the consensus was for two rate hikes this year, which will, and after today, potentially between 1 to 2 is my guess. So I think that sounds like a reasonable estimate of this year. I think that is generally, people do expect the peak to be near, at least within the next 6 months, I think. I don't think we take a different view.
So would it be going up to 4% range?
Oh, you mean our own interest rate, right?
Yeah.
So our own interest rate, okay, so basically if you look at our own interest rate, you also have to look at it, we are only exposed to interest rate risk as and when there is a refinancing due. So actually interest rate changes only impact us to the extent that we have floating rates in our portfolio, right? So currently we have about 20%, roughly 20% of our portfolio subject to interest rate risk. So that, I would say that if we were to, so every 1%, our 20% of our portfolio is, call it about 200 million. So that's about, 1% change in interest rate probably affects us by about 3% in DPU, I think. So not a significant impact because we are mostly on fixed rates already.
I see. So the one that due for renewal this year, is it a fixed rate or variable one?
No, so the one that, if you look at our maturity profile, right, which is on slide 10, actually, we have refinanced most of our loans. So the 185 million due this year is actually revolver. So those are the floating portion. So the 185 that is due this year is actually floating.
Alright, sure.
But we do have a loan that is due for refinancing. We have already refinanced. Of course, that's the rate needs to be fixed second half of the year as well.
Okay, thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you, Shifa. Do we have further questions? So, one of the analysts would like to know the portion of GTO rent against our total revenue.
It's been creeping up generally because sales has been improving quite a bit. I would say that I think for the last quarter it's about 10%. 10 to 11%. So do you have the exact number? From my memory, I think it's about 10, 11%.
Full year is about 8.
A fourth quarter?
Fourth quarter,
something like that. I would think
fourth quarter. It should be higher because we have been enjoying higher sales in the fourth quarter.
But I think to answer the question, I think generally it's been between 8 to 10%. But for the full year, it's 8%. Would that answer the question?
Do we have any more questions? Shall we take one last question, if there is any, before we call it an evening?
Hi, Cindy here from UBKN. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can. Go ahead.
Hi, just questions on footfall. What's your historically trend on international footfall? You have a breakdown?
You mean from tourists?
Yeah, from tourists in general.
I think it's consistent with the number of tourists. I think it's about 10%, if I'm not wrong. But I don't think we break down our footfall into residents and tourists. I don't think so, right?
No, we don't. Different malls have different, I would say it's from ground observation, different malls have slightly different, but it's ranges from about 10 to 20%,
About 10 to 20%, okay, can.
Yeah.
But that's just from ground observation, because we do not actually break down the, traffic personalities,
Yeah, we don't have the ability to do that.
Noted.
Okay, so thank you for the question, and we hope that the call has been a useful session to help you understand where we are in for the full year of 2022, our financial year 2022. So if you have further questions, please do reach out to us, myself or Grace, and we will say good evening and thank you for joining our session this round.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Happy New Year. Gong Xi Fa Chai.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Yeah. Happy holidays to all. Thank you. Drive safe.
Bye-bye.
Bye.